Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2016. From braille displays to video magnifiers, we're bringing you the dish on the hottest new products, apps, and more. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
Are you willing to share your skills and knowledge of the workplace as a person who is blind or visually impaired? Become an AFB Career Connect mentor and help job seekers find their path to success. Sign up today at www.careerconnect.org.
Now, here's JJ Meadow.
Once again, CSUN 2016, we're calling it the year of Braille. Lots of Braille, one of the biggest Braille pieces of news is here at the APH booth. I'm here back with Larry Skukan, the Director of Technology Product Research for APH, and we have, well, what was the Transforming Braille Display, but now has a new name, and it is here. Larry, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, JJ. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So, what is it called now, and what do we have?
Well, the Transforming Braille Display is now called the Orbit Reader 20. It finally has an official name, which makes development a lot easier on it, believe it or not, especially with the screen reader manufacturers, right?
Yeah, definitely. Now, named so because you partner with Orbit Research on the product, along with a whole bunch of other organizations. Looking at it in front of us here, to describe what it looks like and...
Well, the device actually, as you've had your hands on it, it looks pretty darn good. It's about 6 inches wide, 4 inches deep, a little over an inch tall, 20 cells of 8-dot Braille, 8 input keys for all 8 dots, and then a cursor pad, and then 2 panning buttons.
All right. And, the thing I noticed, you know, I was reading a book on, I'm not sure how that book got on here, so we'll talk about that in a second. It refreshes a lot differently than other Braille displays that you might be used to, right?
It does. It's we're using the whole purpose of the Transforming Braille project was to dramatically reduce the cost of refreshable Braille. So we're using a technology here that hadn't been seen in a Braille display ever before. And that's how we're able to get the price down so low. So not only is this going to be something that's affordable for parents and grandparents to buy kids, but we really expect that developing countries will be able to adopt this as a cheaper way to distribute Braille. So it's got an SD card on it.
Right.
And a reader software and a file manager and also note-taking capabilities on it. So you can use it either as a standalone device for simple note-taking. It's not Microsoft Word, I'll tell you that right now. There's no spell checker on it. There's not even a translator on it. It's just you write the raw Braille on it, and then we want to offload all the processing to the PC where you can really do some innovation and quickly change things. One of the things that we... released with this, or will release with it, that's actually available right now is a Windows Send To shortcut. So you right click on something in File Manager, hit pick Send To, and one of your options now is Braille. And
it'll pop it up on the display?
No, it just translates it and then you send it over to the
display.
Oh,
right, yes, you're right. Yeah. They're talking about the new translator, but then you can use that file and load it on the SD card and bring it over.
Exactly.
Is SD the only connectivity option, or is there Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on here? Or?
There is Bluetooth. It works with all the screen readers. And there's also USB, so you can use it on a desktop without a Bluetooth.
Does it work currently, or is it going to need a new set of drivers, or is it similar to what's already out there?
It supports both serial and HID through the USB. So hopefully, if your screen reader supports HID, you won't need to install any drivers or anything.
How do I turn this thing on? I want to see if we can...
There's a, on the back left here, mm-hmm. There's a button. Just press it in for 2 seconds.
Back left. There's the dot one. Oh, way back left?
Way back in the back of the unit.
There we go.
See that recess back there? Yeah, see, it's vibrating to let you know it's coming on.
There you go.
There it goes.
What I want to do, I'm bringing the mic down here. I want to see if you can hear what happens as we're moving across. So it's slower, but it isn't that slow. That's going from left to right, and the cells are popping as I'm scrolling down through the book that's loaded on here.
And you'll notice when you turn it on, it immediately returns to the last file you were reading. In the place you left off, so...
This is interesting Braille too. It's very firm, and you can't, unlike a lot of the current Braille sites, I can't push down on this Braille.
Exactly. And you know what somebody said to me, and I think they hit it right spot on. It looks like signage Braille, like you would read
on a
room number. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That is very interesting. You know, we don't usually put this towards the beginning of the podcast, but I want to get to the price right now because that's huge for, you know, compared to other Braille displays that are out there.
So we don't have the exact price yet, but we're thinking it's going to come in for sale to the end user for around $500.
So what does that do to the existing Braille display market? Is there room for both?
Well,
you still sell on the refresher Braille, actually. So
we are, and we'll continue to sell it as well. Mm-hmm. I suspect that someday the refresher Braille may use these cells as well. We're not trying to put anybody out of business. We're trying to lower the price of refreshable Braille with the Transforming Braille Group.
Well, and we've been saying, as we've been looking around, the number of new Braille devices, and we've been talking for years about potential future Braille technologies, and there's been some prototypes.
But this 2016 is the year. We've been working very actively with LibLui to get full UEB translation into it, and I hope that's going to make it in on the next release later this month, actually.
So is it there, just to describe here, the top we have your typical Perkins-style 8 button. Well, you have the regular 6, and then 7 and 8 are next to the space bar.
Yep.
And then you have a 5-way.
Exactly. And then on the back, there's a recess on the very back edge that holds a power button all the way to the left, an SD, a full-size SD card slot, and then a micro USB connection.
For charging?
Charging and connecting as a mass storage device.
You can load files. Is there any internal memory, or is that just go straight to the SD card?
Just straight to the SD card, yeah.
Is there USB connectivity for the display itself, or is it just for storage?
Oh, it is for the display as well. So you connect it to use with your screen reader, yeah.
What's the battery life like on this?
Well, the specs called for it to be a full day's use on a charge. We're finding that you actually can go almost a week, depending on how much you use it. But I think the official position is going to be a full day's use.
Right. Well, that's what someone's reading continuously.
Yeah, it kind of depends what you're doing with it, right?
Sure. Yeah, right. If you're using it for an entire 8 hours or whatever, and that's pretty light. Do you have the weight on this, or
less than a pound,
which is very comparable to the existing displays. The dots, as we were talking about a couple minutes ago, are very interesting to me. It seems like it's pretty hard for dust and other things to get inside of the unit too.
So we've got a unique ingress protection system in here, which consists of the dots are actually in two pieces. So the top piece is separated from the mechanism by a rubber membrane, which keeps any kind of dust and oil from getting down into the working parts of this. So the whole idea is that service and maintenance and upkeep on this is also very inexpensive. It'll be easy to clean it, replace parts of it without spending an arm and a leg on it.
Have you had any talks, or is this going to work with mobile devices at this point? Or
works great with iOS and Android already, and I think when Windows 10 gets their Braille support on the mobile platform, we'll be ready to go with them. We're willing and quite anxious to work with anyone.
So the price of this being a 20-cell unit for much cheaper than others, does that enable the possibility of a multi-line or, you know, a much bigger display for an affordable price in the future? Is that considered a possibility? Or
great question. So there's a possibility for longer lines. these are in modules, so you could have a 10, 20, 40, 80, 60-cell wide. The unfortunate part is, line by line is not going to be so easy, because if you'll notice here, the distance from the bottom of that cell to the edge of the case, that's all taken up with mechanism. So that's as close as you could get two lines
together. You can't put it any closer. The lines would be kind of double spaced if you were doing it.
Exactly, yeah.
Got you. Well, you mentioned the price. What's the timeline from here on out? We have a name now, and when can someone buy one of these things?
We're looking at this fall, JJ.
And it's going to be sold by APH and perhaps other companies as well. Is that because there was this whole, obviously, several organizations partnered in on this product. It was huge.
And let me give you a little background on that, if I may.
Sure.
So 11 organizations around the world got together and put up $1.5 million to develop this technology. And the three in the United States are NFB, Perkins, and APH. So Perkins, I think, is going to concentrate on the international market. I believe NFB is going to sell it through the NFB appliance or
independence market. Yeah,
thank you.
I think that's what it was called 20 years ago.
I think it was. Yeah. You know how us old guys do. Seems like just yesterday.
Right.
Well, and APH is going to sell it on quota or for cash, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other organizations, I'm probably going to miss some here, but just let me see if I can throw them off. So there was Blind Foundation in New Zealand, Vision Australia in Australia, obviously.
Yep.
Norway and France, blind organizations, RNIB in the UK, CNIB in Canada. Who am I missing here?
I lost count.
Yeah, I think I'm missing a couple. NLS was part of it, but they couldn't invest any money in it because they were...
Sure, because they're government.
Yeah. Now, I understand that NLS is considering this technology to distribute a reader. Now, this isn't official or anything. This is all rumors.
But they had talked about this in the past.
Well, yeah.
Part of the reason they were interested in this is the cost of distributing these would be cheaper than the cost of producing Braille, in essence.
Right. Know. Just send out an SD card.
Right now, they're producing a couple of copies of every Braille book for every state. So it's for every new one they add, and it definitely adds up. And they already have a precedent. Well, they were a part of distributing the money readers, which I know is Bureau of Engraving, but, there's a precedent now for distributing tech, and, of course, there's the players and everything else. So.
And I expect that none of this is official, but just reading the tea leaves, I suspect what they're going to do is produce a 40-cell one with just 6 dots and no connectivity, just a standalone reader so that they can send you files.
Right, it'll just take SD cards or cartridges.
Maybe. Maybe, could be.
It could be that.
The NLS cartridge, yeah.
Let's talk just quickly about a couple other things that have happened here. There was an announcement between APH and Freedom Scientific today.
Yeah, well, as you know, APH has a new leader at the helm now, Craig Mitter. And he's a very forward-thinking young man. And one of the things he wants to do is to... make sure, as we always have at APH, to make sure that students in America get the best possible technology and education they can. So we've worked with Freedom Scientific over the last several months to come up with a way to distribute a version of JAWS on quota. And the big exciting news about this is it's a less restrictive license than buying it outright, the way a school would do. So the way it works is that the school pays $300 a year for up to 4 years. After the fourth year, the software reverts over to a regular JAWS for the student. So it's on a per student basis.
Okay.
And if the student uses it for 4 years and graduates from school, he gets to take it with him.
Because by then it's been $1,200 and you've essentially paid for...
Yep. Well, the good thing is, though, if a student starts out in fourth grade and uses it through eighth, he gets updates all the way through the 12th grade plus the support.
For no additional cost after the 4 years?
Right. And this is not just JAWS. This is a combination of JAWS and Magic. And here's the best part, Jay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
JJ. It's actually a 3-computer license. So they can install it at home and at school and wherever else.
And the license allows for it to be. Because a lot of times, right now, if you have a corporate or a site license for a school system, you can't put it on your home computer. You have to buy a separate license.
Correct.
So this gets around that, essentially.
Yeah, it's kind of a variation to a program they introduced where I think if you have a version at work, you can buy a home copy for $75.
Right.
So just a variation on that license.
And that's available now on quota or coming there soon?
Not yet, but I suspect within the month. Yeah, we've got everything done but dotting the I's now.
All right. There was an we reported this a little while ago, the Refresher Braille was kind of rejiggered a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We hadn't talked about that, have we?
No.
So We did several things to the Refresh Braille. Put a better Bluetooth system in it so that you have the simple pairing method now. So right. You can either use the simple or the secure. The default is the simple, but if you're in a situation where you need a more secure one, you can still certainly do that. We changed the USB port from mini to micro.
Yeah, and it's more modern.
And it makes it much easier to plug it in, too. That was one of the biggest complaints we've had on the Refresh Braille is it's a little difficult to get that USB cable in there because of that protection system we have, which was designed to prevent people from breaking it.
It wasn't a bug. It was a feature, the USB cable kind of being underneath and buried.
And it worked. It reduced breakage from 10% of devices to zero. We've never had one break with this system. And then the last thing we did was change the joystick to a button type of a five-way button. Mm-hmm. One of the things with the joystick is you know, if you pressed it up, the device had a tendency to slide towards the direction you were pressing it.
Right.
So with this button, you're always pressing down toward the table with
sure.
it, so you don't have any of that. We also made the space bar a little more ergonomic, where it's, you know, on the old ones, it had a kind of a lip on it where you had to sort of reach over it.
Right.
Now it's much easier just to rest your palms on the table and hit that space bar with the side of your thumb.
Sure. So that's available now?
It is. Uh-huh.
And pretty much the same price
yep.
as the old one.
Yep.
There was talk here and there and scattered annual reports about a possible 40. Is that still something you're thinking about? Or?
It is. I'll go ahead and say this because we put out a request for proposals and it's public, but we're talking about doing a 40-cell display with a QWERTY keyboard that's very similar to the functionality of this Orbit Reader 20. That'll be a simple editor, file manager, and a reading tool, but mainly the thing is to have a high-quality keyboard with a Braille display built in that the student could take with them anywhere. You know how laptop keyboards are so crazy sometimes?
Sure.
With this thing, you walk up to any laptop. You don't have to figure out what keys or what. Work great with an iPhone because it'll be Bluetooth as well. And we want to keep the size down to very similar to, say, the Apple keyboard in width and stature.
It'd be an interesting companion to those you know, those little micro PCs, too, you know, little tiny desktop.
It would, or even your regular desktop. I wouldn't mind seeing one, to, you know, because it's going to be a high-quality keyboard.
So are you picturing the Braille cells more similar to what's here on the Orbit, or would it be more similar to the Refresher Braille? Are you waiting to see what...
Well, we've got bids out to several manufacturers. We're going to entertain all ideas. You know, I suspect, however, that the industry is going to gravitate towards this new technology here, and we'll see a lot more displays with this kind of... And you know, you mentioned the refresh rate is different than what you've seen with the piezoelectric ones. We made some compromises in trying to keep the price down, and refresh rate was one of them. We can actually, for a few dollars more, make this just the same kind of refresh rate as any display out there. It's no no technological hurdle.
And that's iteration one. I mean,
absolutely.
I would expect. I mean, the big deal with this is Braille display technology hasn't changed in, what, 25 years or more? I mean,
it's price hadn't come down.
Price hasn't come down. Which kind of goes along with, you know, all the note takers that are out there being so expensive, largely because of the Braille display tech.
Well, and you know, another thing is, this is such a hard thing to talk about because my heart was so close to the Braille Plus 18, but the fact is, we as small companies in the assistive technology industry absolutely cannot compete with Apple and Google and
right.
Microsoft and Nokia and Samsung on getting new hardware out. So the idea of this moving all the complexity out of the device and keeping it simple where it'll never go obsolete lets you continually keep your tech updated without any kind of consequences.
Yep, and that's been the discussion of, like, you know, note taker versus just a Braille display where you can keep...
Well, and then there's the Yeah, sort of the thing that's in between where you've got just a note taker and not the whole system, not a whole...
Yeah, a lot of them now are doing at least some basic note taking functions where you can read, you can load books on an SD card, for instance, and things like that. Yep. With that, the 40, as you spec'd it out, does it have an SD card slot or anything like
that? It does. The 40, actually, the way we spec'd it out is very similar to this, except sort of the form factor and the keyboard.
So obviously that's at least several months, if not more, down the line by the time...
I'd say that thing's probably a year away, which we're very reluctant to talk about things of the future, but you asked, so I spilled the beans.
Well, we always appreciate you coming on. And hey, now we know we might be talking about next year.
Exactly.
If people want to get more information about anything that you said or contact you, what's the best way to do that?
My email is technology@aph.org.
Did you give up on people trying to spell Scoupon at this point?
No, not at all. Pronouncing it's another matter.
Well, yeah, you know.
So, okay, I'll give you my long email.
You need all the screen reader vendors to add your name and start a campaign.
I like it being called Scut. I have to tell Siri when I tell her to call my daughter, I have to say, call Michelle Scutcheon. So my email, my name's Larry Scoutcon, and the email is lscoutcon, which is lscoutchan@aph.org.
And, of course, aph.org is where you can order things. You're on Twitter as well?
We are. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Larry, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, JJ. Good seeing you again.
You too.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2016.